Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us. Thank you for your word. Quicken our mind and our heart to be able to receive it and to, Lord, put it to work in us. The Lord, we may see the fruit that you send it for happening, manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to just continue on that. Last time we started with dealing with the discerning of spirits. I want to do a bit more on that. They are important for us to understand and to benefit from them. Because the purpose of the gifts is to help us in the areas that we cannot make it on our own. The areas in which we need extra help, they are there to compensate for our lacks or our weaknesses, in a way. Because the Word of God is enough to minister to us and provide for everything. But there are some areas in which we are weak and we cannot quite make it there. And it's there where God's mercy, where the Holy Spirit intervene or interfere with the process that we had to go through to give us the little extra boost to push us through. And that's why they are so important, because they help us, they train us in spiritual things. The word is enough for everything, but we come short in some areas. And this is where the gifts come into the picture. You see, the gifts are mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians and explained there, and they were teaching to the Corinthian church, which was the messiest church of them all. And the reason was because they were so messy that they needed understanding about spiritual things that they did not have. Other churches dealt with other issues, but even there, even if they were so messy, as Paul says to the Corinthians, you come short of any other churches for the gifts. So the gifts were really evidently manifested there, but they were still the messiest churches. You see, there is no relationship without spiritual development and the manifestation of the gift within us. We don't need to be spiritually developed to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in us. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem is sometimes they are misused because the people are not too smart. And so this is why Paul was teaching them, because they weren't too smart spiritually, so they had to be corrected and directed properly. But the gifts were manifested both in the Old Testament in a different way and in the New Testament everywhere in the church. You see, read the book of Acts and there is a continuous manifestation. Jesus operated on the gifts continuously, but did he operate in the gifts, or it was just the Holy Spirit operating through him all the time normally? Every time when was needed, Jesus had a manifestation that corresponded to one of the gifts that was related to the situation. When we are the fullness of the Spirit, that's what's going to happen to us. And it's going to be the natural thing to do. It's not something that happens once in a while. We looked at the first two gifts, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And it's important to understand them, because otherwise, first of all, we cannot see them in operation. Second, you know, understand them helps us to see them in the scriptures. It helps to see them, how they are manifested there, so that we can learn from them. And also, when they happen to us, we can see what is taking place, so that we make a connection. And we can, when you understand something, it's much easier to connect with what's going on. Word of wisdom is to know about the future, about God's plan about things. And it's a supernatural event that takes place. It's not just, you know, because maybe you read the Bible. No, it's you have extra information that is not logical, just from a standpoint of view of you connected the dots and you came to that conclusion. It's just that supernatural, you know something. Same thing in the world of knowledge. You know things about it took place or taking place before, and you know about them. Not because somebody told you, but because you know. Like when you look for something and you ask the Holy Spirit, you've been looking around the house all over the place and you can't find, you ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings you right there. Yes, that's the word of knowledge. Okay, you know something that what took place. It happened to me yesterday. You know, I was looking for a book, and I asked many, and all over the place, and it's difficult sometimes to find them. So at the end I said, Lord, I can't find this, you better help me, because I need it. And he just took me there. I was looking in the wrong side of the room. Okay, so that's the Holy Spirit helping. You see, sometimes we think we don't connect events to actually what has happened on the spiritual realm. Okay. And this is, instead, it's important to understand, to see God the other way He works in our life. Because that makes it more real, and that makes it more exciting to see that actually God is part of our life and is doing something that is having an effect on us. It's not just reading something that happened 2,000 years ago. God is alive today. So I want to go a bit more into discerning of spirit, which actually is a pretty common thing. But often people do not understand or do not put the right label on it, what's happening. Okay, discerning of spirit, or I repeat it, is a supernatural insight. It's just, the important thing is supernatural. It's not something that intuition. It's not an intuition. It's just something that you suddenly realize and you are able to see inside into the spirit world. Okay, and it can be touching so many different areas. It can be manifested in many different ways. And really what you can see when you talk about spirit, you can see either divine spirit like God or angels or a demonic spirit or even human spirit. You can have revelation about the intention or the heart of some people. Okay? So and we are going to see the purpose of this, because there is every gift has a purpose. And as an application. So the important thing is that you have to distinguish that between people that are just critical and find mistakes and find errors and find fault with everybody. That's not discerning of spirit. That's a critical spirit. This is a problem. It's not a gift from God. Okay. So often, spirits are involved with mental sickness. You can see that in the Bible often, the demoniac of Gadara and spirit of infirmity. And it's the ability also to judge spiritual things happening. So that you can know the true from the false. You can know a fake from a real thing. Okay? The important thing is that sometimes we pass our own judgment on thing, and this is not the discerning of spirit. Okay? This is, Jesus said actually, you know, judge not that you will be not judged. This is Matthew chapter 7 verse 1. So it's not a question of judging things. It's a question of having a supernatural revelation about the truth. That often, if you take it mentally, can become a judgment, but it's not a judgment in you. I can give you some examples of things happen in my life that are about these kind of things. So really, most of the time is seeing in the spirit world, or is opening a door through the spirit world, so that you start seeing things that are not visible to the eyes, physical eyes, but they're visible to the spiritual eyes. For example, visions. When you have a vision, you see in the spirit world. And no matter what type of vision you have, okay, you always see beyond what you can see physically, with your physical eyes. So these are spiritual, you see with your spiritual eyes. So this is a manifestation of the gift of discerning of spirit. You can see angels, you can see demons, you can see Jesus, you can see what is in man. Now the thing is, how is that going to happen? How is it going to, you know, some people, for example, even in the congregation, they often have visions. The fact that you have vision doesn't mean that you have understand what's going on. Vision and dreams are not very much different. So lots of people have dreams, some people don't even dream, but they don't understand what they're dreaming. Generally, there is a correlation most of the time with the dreams you have. And so, if you have some spiritual understanding, so you can discern things. But the having dream that is a spiritual content, in a way, is a manifestation of a discernment of spirits. Because if you can get understanding, a word of knowledge, or things through dreams, what's the difference between that and the discerning of spirit? Okay. The point is I'm trying to make is that possibly this is more common, a gift, than, for example, having word of wisdom, which involves understanding things at a higher level. That is more common even the word of knowledge, to know if something is happening or it happened before. More people have dreams, more people that are spiritual, more people have, visions that evidently are spiritual, but they don't understand, or don't have the wisdom, the word of wisdom with them, but sometimes go together. So you cannot separate in boxes. You know, the whole package goes together sometimes. For example, if you saw Jesus and Jesus told you about something that you should be doing, the information that you got is wisdom, so it's a word of wisdom, but also you have a discernment of spirit at that particular time, a manifestation, because you saw in the spirit world. Are you following me or am I confusing you? Okay. This gift, if you want, is the beginning, or is a door entrance to the spirit world that is given to us as a gift from God, so that we can grow and understand these things. Otherwise, you see, if you remember the dream I had, my first dream I had on demons, many, many years ago. I mean, I've never been exposed to anybody teaching on that topic. I never read anything even about that topic. But I saw that very clearly. And I was between awake and asleep, and I could, actually I would close my eyes and open out of my eyes, and I could still see it. So that was open vision. But the point is, what happened is I was seeing areas that I didn't experience before. And there was much more in that dream that I understand now that I understood then, because I didn't have the wisdom to be able to appropriate the meaning of certain things. But the gift was in operation. See, the gift was beyond my ability at that time. But it was preparing me for other things to come later. So that, you know, and once you had that experience, it stays with you, and you keep learning from it as you look back, because you are a different place to be able to understand and interpret what took place. You understand what I'm saying? Let me start from the beginning, because this is an interesting thing. When Adam was created, he did not have the limitation that we have today. He could see, he could live in both worlds. You say, well, why do you say that? Well, in the evening when the Lord would come, he would commune with him freely. So, evidently, he could see and talk and relate to the Lord. That thing changed when he separated himself from God and he started hiding. And then God established the division when he said, you know, you cannot come anymore there. But Jesus re-established that relationship. And so now we have access to the tree of life that was cut off as men sin in the Garden of Eden. Are you following what I'm saying? So, you know, at that time, we had that ability before, and we lost it, and Jesus came to reestablish, and this is why now, for a born-again believer, should be easier and easier to move in that dimension, and to start seeing the reality of a spirit world that is close to the normal mind. So this is helping us, to prepare us, for the time when we are going to be inside there. And not anymore here. This was something that we were born with that. We have a spirit. And so our spirit, if there will be no blockage, it should be able to perceive. We have spiritual senses as we have physical senses. We have the eyes of our spirit. And it's parallel to the eyes of our, if you have ear to ear, we have ear, spiritual ears, that we can supersede the understanding of our physical ears. We can see things, and there are many things we can see. One of the things we can see, for example, are angels. I mean, if you talk about discernment, most of the people just think about demons. And this is the way our mind is distorted. Okay? Because the demons are less than one-third of the angels. So there are more angels than demons around. So if we just the question of going and meeting somebody, we should have more chances to meet angels than demons. Okay? And the Bible talks about, both in the Old Testament and New Testament, people seeing angels. For example, Jesus, New Testament, let me read some scripture, Revelation 12:4, for example. He still drew a third of the stars in heaven and threw them onto the earth. You see, this is a revelation of something that happened in the past. This is Satan that takes with him one third of the angels and bring them down with her, as they reject it. So you see, this is a picture of what happened in the spirit world. And that was revealed, you know, that was a vision. So if you look at that scripture, it gives you an indication that John was having a discernment of spirit and could bring this information to us because he was seeing the spirit world. Okay? The understanding, the importance of the angels is given in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It says, they are not ministering spirit sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation. So you see, they are there to minister to us. And so if they are there to minister to us, evidently they have some interaction with us. Otherwise, how can they minister to us? Okay? In Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps about those who fear him and delivers them. So when the implication there is that we can, if we would see in the spirit world, we would see angels around us. To an encamping around. That means, you know, that they are stable there to do the job, to help us, to minister to us, to help in the things that we cannot do because the things that God wants to help us with. So being aware of that sometimes helps us to even recognize them. Matthew chapter 18 verse 10 says, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, talking about children. For I say to you that in heaven, the angels always see the face of the Father who is in their angels see the face of the Father who is in heaven. You see, they are ministering to the children to protect them. And this is Jesus saying that to us. So, angels appear in visions and in different ways. See, it can appear in vision, it can appear in dreams, but sometimes it can take a physical form. I mean, it can become like a real person, and you can touch them and relate to them like a person, or not know even it's an angel. It happens a number of times in the Old Testament, but you know, you can see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, says, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Abraham was one of them, but others, you know, did the same. So you see the idea that they not only can be in the spirit world, but sometimes God gives them the ability to be transferred into the physical world, and they take the shape of a person. Now, I never had that experience myself, but I had the other one. I had the vision component. All right. Let me read that. There are other ones. You know, for example, without going to all the scripture, Joshua saw an angel when he was getting into close to fight for Jericho. An angel with a sword, you know, and actually asked him. And that was a vision. Asked him, are you for us or against us? And he was actually the leader of the army of the Lord that explained to that. That was one of them. The other one is Gideon saw an angel when he was trying to address him like the mighty man of God, when he was feeling all the opposite. You see, he was ministering to them and starting to help him in the things he was doing. The archangel Gabriel appeared to Daniel when he was praying. So there are a number of occasions in the Old Testament in which angels appear. New Testament. Mary, when the Holy Spirit came on Mary, the angel appeared to her and explained the situation to her. Other ones, angel appeared to Cornelius to tell him about Peter. And so there is a number of situations that took place there in which actually angels talking to believers, and sometimes even non-believers, giving them direction. So that's one of the things. The other thing that we can see is demons. I mean, these are spiritual beings, okay? For example, when, and this is interesting too, because if you remember when Jesus asked Peter, what would men say that who I am? And he said, and what do you say that I am? You are the Son of God. And just let me read that. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. And he said to them, but what do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, and this was an important revelation that he had, that you are Peter, and on this rock, I mean, this understanding, this belief will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, this is interesting. This is chapter 16, verse 18, book of Matthew. Just a few verses later, Matthew 16:21. And from the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. That was, but then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. Now you can say, what was talking about? What Jesus saw was what behind what was happening in the spirit world, and Peter was influenced by a spirit by saying the things that he was saying, because he wasn't reporting to what Jesus was saying. He was influenced by a demon making him say the things that were contrary to what Jesus had to do. So that was it. Revelation of a spirit, a discerning of spirit that Jesus said, and it was a pretty strong thing to say to your friend. Okay? You come and tell me something, and I turn around, go behind me, Satan. But that was what Jesus perceived and communicated to him. Okay? And took a position, because in that situation he had to take a position against that influencing spirit that was trying to influence Jesus through Peter. Because Jesus knew what he was doing, but what demons do, try to influence you to do and to say things that are contrary to God's plan. And they hinder you in your relationship with God, and they make you do things that are wrong. And if you listen to them the way Eve did, because that's what the serpent did too, and he communicated to her. Evidently, it was not just a snake. He could convince her to reject what God had told her, so that would fall into error, and she took it because they are tricky, they are devious, they are deceiving, they make things appear differently than what they are. That's the way they work. That's what temptation is. Any type of temptation. You see, a temptation is something that comes to you and tries to make you think contrary to what God says. And because there is some weakness in you that makes you prone to accept that idea, because probably you think, well, you know, it's convenient or looks good. You know, there are the three basic temptation area, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. You know, it takes you in any of those three areas, and you are prone to give in. And so you have to take a position and recognize that this is something that is going to take you away from God's word, believing what God says. And so you can overcome by rejecting, resisting, opposing what the devil says or what the demon says. Okay? But you can see that from one moment to another, Peter had a great revelation from God. Just no, almost no time, just at the same meeting, there is influenced by Satan to say something. So there is a demonic manifestation working on him and affecting him. That shows the way it works. I mean, one moment you can be close to God, next moment there is a demon influencing you. Now, generally, I don't like to talk about demons, because you give room to them, you make them feel important. I don't like to make them feel important. Okay, I know that they are losers and we have victory. As if we don't, how to deal with them? But the point is, if you don't know about them, what you know, they take you back because of your ignorance. See, we need to know without giving them too much importance, because they don't have any power except the power we give them to them. And don't have any strength, but they know how to trick us. So we need to know the strategy that they have so that we can take a position to reject their influence. See, they work by influence. And once they got their foot in, they take advantage of it. And it can be just the pain that they put on your body, and the pain may just happen for any reason, but they use it to make you think the wrong way, and then they use it to develop things inside you that shouldn't be there. Now comes the interesting question that lots of people debate about. Can a born-again believer have a demon? And the problem with that statement is that the statement is formulated wrongly. See, you may ask the wrong question, and you cannot get any answer from that question. You have to ask things in a way that has a solution, not produce the problem. So let's change the way you make that question. It says, can a born-again believer be influenced by a demon? Anybody has a problem understanding that? I mean, evidently everybody can be influenced by a demon. Peter could be, and we can be, because sometimes we choose to do the wrong thing, and it's not coming from God, it's coming from a demonic power. So, you see, looking at it in this new way, it's not even a question, it's not even a problem. Sure we can. The point is, we have a position that we have to take, and we can resist. That's why the Bible says resist the devil. Well, evidently, if you wouldn't be influenced, I wouldn't need to say that. Okay? So the idea is, yes, what can they do to you? Well, number one, they make you not believe what God says. What implications are that? Anything. Anything that goes against the word of God. I mean, the word of God says, for example, by stripes you are healed. Well, you see, you're not healed. Eh? You know, just this ugly thing on your back telling you that, and you take it. Oh, you see, your symptoms are there. That's the way they work. Or, why don't you do this? You know, that looks like fun. When instead, you know, that ruins you. But the point is, once we allow them in, they stay there, and they take a ride with us. Because we accept their influence. And they become habitual spirits. They become, you are used to do that. Like, for example, a spirit of infirmity, how does it get to you? You know, it's not that you go around and says, oh, spirit of infirmity, come here, I just like to be sick. No. The way it happens is that at the beginning you start getting sick, and you start being sick, and you start seeing yourself as sick, and then you become normal, and you are sick. And then you got the spirit of infirmity that you had to overcome. So that if you see yourself sick, well, you are influenced by a spirit. Hello? Yeah. Because by your stripe, you were healed. So are you believing that you are sick or that you, by your stripes, you are healed? So what you had to do? You had to come against that spirit until you don't believe it anymore. See, that's why sometimes it's so difficult to get people healed. Because they believe that they are sick. So what can you do? Well, I have the symptoms. Yes. They had to go. They can stay there. You take a position. You have to resist it and you will flee. But you have a choice. You see, it's your choice. You choose the word of God or you choose what you see physically. You see, the word of God is not based on physical things. It's a spiritual truth that has to be manifested on the physical level. But before being manifested in the physical level, you have to accept it and you have to believe it, and it's going to become truth for you. So the big question of, can a Christian have a demon? Absolutely. But it's not just as simple as casting it out. You had to take a position and you had to stand on that truth. If somebody is not a believer, it's so much easier because you come there with authority, you can kick the thing out. But the things that you have been holding on and allowing to be there, they have a right to stay until you don't want them anymore. Am I explaining something? Okay, that's important to understand. Because people think, you know, the shortcut, well, don't you cast it out from me? Yeah, you cast it out, you know, you go out of the church and they come back on you. Because you just want them there. You are used to them. It's a familiar spirit. Anybody that feels like he's a loser. These are demonic influences. People get scared about these things, but they shouldn't be scared. We need to be in fear. We should fear nothing. But you can fear nothing only when you're spiritually strong. And you know where you stand in God. And you know that you are in Christ, and within Christ is the name above every name. And so everything should bow to him, and you promise to us that we can step on scorpions and serpents and not be affected. Between saying the scripture and actually having it in your heart and believing, there's a big gap there. But when you receive the scripture and you know the scripture and the scripture in your heart, you have power, you have authority. You have strength, and these things go from you to the degree that you realize they're there. Because if you keep them there, they stay. If you feel good about feeling sorry for yourself, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to feel sorry for yourself. If you feel poor little me, well, that's exactly the spirit of self-pity. But sometimes, you know, if you have the gift of discernment of spirit, sometimes you can see a person, and actually, you know, you can say, well, this guy is depressed or whatever. But sometimes when the veil is taken down, you can actually see the demon on their shoulders. All right. Well, for today, we close. I generally don't talk about this stuff because some people can handle it. But the fact is, they are the real, and they are there, and you have to deal with them. Okay, and the better you understand, the better position you can take. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, that we know that as we, Lord, receive your word in our hearts, we, Lord, receive strength, healing, and freedom because you came to set us free. So we just thank you and praise you, Lord. And we just acknowledge, Lord, that in you we are more than conquerors. That there is nothing, Lord, that can overcome us because you are with us. And as we put our trust in you, Lord, and we listen to what you direct us to do, then we will have victory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.